الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. So this week when I was perhaps either getting into work or maybe coming home from work, one of the things I noticed was the shuttle bus, which was sort of parked waiting for the people to load before it takes off. And the way it works, at least at Barnes here, is that there's several lots, right? There's like the blue lot, and there might be the children's hospital lot, and there's somewhat distance from the actual hospital facility itself. And so they've created a system where they actually have shuttles, right, that run every 5 minutes or every 10 minutes, so that when employees come in, they basically load onto the shuttle, and then the shuttle drives you over to the hospital. They have like nearly like 9,000 or 10,000 employees. It's almost like a small city. While I was watching the shuttle bus there waiting, and then every shuttle bus also has a shuttle driver, right, it has a bus driver. And one of the things that occurred to me is that this individual, every day he gets up, and from the morning until the end of his shift, right, whatever his shift he or she may be on, they drive on that same route, right? It's very orchestrated, it's very rehearsed, and it's the same route time after time. Every 5 or every 10 minutes, you're making the same route, and then you stop. Then you make the same route, and then you stop. And it's actually so specific that, say that you wanted them to stop a little bit early, they said, no, I can't stop except for the designated stop. Right, they know exactly where they have to stop, and then they go literally in circles, right, the whole day. They don't do it for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. This is their life, right? There are probably some people who have been there at Barnes for 3, 4, 5 years, and you see the same bus driver, perhaps, right, driving day in, day out. That's their life, right? Same road. They see the same people, they see the same buildings, right? They probably know you may perhaps even the cracks or the bumps in the road because they've driven over it so many times. It just becomes so familiar, right? And that's their life, that they have to drive on their route. The person who drives the blue bus, he has the blue route, right? And the person who drives the purple bus, he has his purple route. And the person who drives the red bus, he has the red route. And that's what they know. So, it might seem like a very mundane existence, but that's the reality that they deal with. And at the same time, then you'll notice that, every so often, there's certain people who come on the bus at the same time, right? So there's maybe because I look different, some of the bus drivers recognize me. No, right? Because, if I get into work at a certain time every day, then they sort of get into the, used to that between this time and this time, such people are going to be on the bus, right? So maybe the surgeons are coming in at 6, and then maybe the internal medicine people are coming in at 7. So then over time, you get to know who's who, right? So then there's different people who are coming on the bus. And then we'll talk about that in a little while, inshallah. We'll get back to that. So each bus driver has his route. In the very same way, every one of us also has a route. Right. Actually, in English, we call it routine. Right? You actually see the word route in it, too. Right? We have a routine. And it's also very orchestrated. It's also very rehearsed. In many ways, it's very rigid. Right? So the person who's perhaps going to school, he knows that, at this time I have my class, at this time I get up, at this time I go to sleep. It's pretty much the same route day in and day out. Right. If a person is going to work, then he knows that from this time to this time, I'm going to work, and when I come home, I'm going to do this. On the weekend, I'm going to do this. And yes, there's small differences that occur in life, but for the greater part of one's life, there's a sort of schedule or a routine that he or she may follow. And actually, that in itself is a huge blessing for us living here in a relatively in a state of Amman, because there's people in the world who don't have that same degree of reliability or predictability to their life. As the person in some war-torn refugee area, they don't know what tomorrow holds. Right? They have no idea. Like, they have no idea what's going to happen. Ask, you know, some poor lady whose, you know, husband has been killed in some, you know, third world country where it's extremely unsafe. She doesn't know who's going to barge in her house the next moment. Right? You live in under constant fear. So this is one of the huge blessings that Subhanallah, Allah has given us, is that He's given us a routine. Right? That in itself, in one way, is a blessing. Because you know, sort of to a certain degree, what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And the reason that it's a blessing is because then you can plan things in your life, right, where you want to fit things. Right? When you have a certain amount of stability in your life, a certain amount of, you know, predictability in your life, then it's easy to move forward to the next step. Right? Then it's easy to, when you sort of have the basics settled, then you can sort of plan to the next step. How do I improve this aspect of my life or that aspect of my life? For those people who don't have that predictability, sometimes it becomes much more difficult. So one thing is that we have to recognize that many of us have a routine, and that routine is a blessing. But more than that, I wanted to get back to the point of the fact that every one of us has a routine. And, you know, small things can change every day, but for the greater part, just like, for example, sometimes some different person is going to get onto a bus, and then it's normal, but it doesn't change the fact that, you know, he has a set routine. Same thing with us. You have a set routine. There's one fundamental difference, though, between us, our routines, or our route, if you want to think about it that way, and the route of a bus driver. And that's the fact that we have the ability to change our route. Right? Any day that you get up, right, the bus driver, if he changes the route and he goes to the wrong bus stop and his supervisor catches them, then they get fired, right? They get cited. But for us, every day or every moment, every minute, we have a chance to change our route. Whatever we want to do, right? Whatever we want to choose, إِنَّا أَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. One of the amanah that we have been given of free will, this ability to choose exactly what our route is going to be. So if a particular route is boring, right, or mundane, there's no one's fault except our own, right? Because we can choose to make a right, or you can choose to make a left. And a realization that one has complete autonomy to choose his or her route every single day in their life, you know, is an exhilarating epiphany. Because what it tells us is that any single day we have a right, and we have the ability to, you know, bi tawfiqillah, change our life around. Right? No one's there to hold us back. The only person, in one way, who's holding us back is ourselves. If we want to lead an extremely religious life, right, and lead a life that is committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the service of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, the only person who's stopping us from driving on that road, right, on that path, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا, the only person who's holding us back is ourselves. It's up to us. Now, when a person is driving on a certain road and they're doing it day in and day out, right? A person will say that that's very boring, right? One of the first things that he said, I can never do that for a living because I'd be bored to death, right? There's no way. But if you look into our own lives, right? If we've been driving the same thing, right? We've been getting to the same route, meaning doing the same sins for 4 or 5 years, you know, caught in the same laziness, caught in the same rut of, you know, getting angry, getting worried about the same things. We look at our lives 5 years ago and we look at ourselves now and we're at the same exact spot. Why don't we get bored? Right? Why don't we get bored? The fact of the matter is a person should get bored. Right? A person should get bored, and a person should try to change their route every single day. Now, a person says, well, how can you change your route every single day? Because I thought the only route that we're supposed to take is the route of Islam. Right? Yeah, that's true. There's only one route, and that is the route of Islam, but it's a multi-lane highway. Right? And you can change lanes. And you keep on getting into the fast lane. Right? And then you get in the fast lane, then you get in the faster lane. Right? And then you get in the super speed zone. Right, and you can keep on going, right? And that's the beauty of Islam, that it is so wide and it is so expansive that every single day can be different. Every single day can be exciting. Just like a person who's driving on the same route and then he wants to see something different. He wants to see the scenery. He wants to see something new. Islam will allow you to do that if you shift into the right lane. Right? The problem is if you shift into the wrong lane, you get into an accident. If you shift into the right lane, you're just going to keep on moving faster and faster and faster. And there's beautiful things to see. There's beautiful things to experience. Right? That route that we pick is entirely our own. Right? You can drive on Highway 66 or you can drive through East St. Louis. It's your choice. Right? It's your choice. So the first principle number one was that everyone has a route, to recognize that. And principle number two was to realize that it's in our hand every single day to change that route. Principle number three, let me close this. Principle number three is that people's routes intersect. Right. Oh, no, actually, I should say rather, principle number three is people have different routes. So, in the morning, the bus driver, he gets into the, he gets on the bus and he sits in the bus and he says, from 9 to 5, I'm going to be driving this bus. That's his route. That's his routine. At the same time, the physician gets into the car, into the bus, and, you know, that five minutes that he's actually on the shuttle, that's a part of his routine, but it's only a very small part. Right? And then this rest of his day. So the bus driver is sitting there and he's driving his bus and there's four or five people who are sitting behind him. One of them is a physician and he's wondering, he's going home and he's wondering about, I wonder if I get prescribed the right medication and I wonder if that small kid is going to make it and, he's just completely worried about that. The bus driver is completely oblivious to what's going on in his mind. Right? He's thinking about something completely different. There's another employee, he's going home, he's wondering, my marriage is on the rocks, and he's worried about this pending divorce, right? And then there's, some secretary, and all she can think about on the way home is that how her boss got mad at her, and how it's so unfair, and she's like, maybe I should get a different job. And so, each person's mind is preoccupied about something, right? And they're living in this complete, they're in the same physical proximity, right? Completely oblivious to the other person's route is, right? Completely oblivious. And you see this, actually. When you drive on the road, right, you're only thinking about where you have to go. You never look in the next car and say, I wonder where he's going, right? You only think about where you're going. You don't care where that person is going. You're just wondering, I have to get to such and such place. I wonder where that cab driver is going. I wonder where that person is going. No one thinks, generally people don't think like that. So understand that people have different routes. Right? People have different routes. Principle number four, that now it comes to principle number four, is that people's routes intersect. Right? People's route intersect. So that physician, for that 5 minutes where he's actually in that, that surgeon, for 5 minutes when he's on the shuttle, his route intersects with the route of the bus driver. Right? So for those 5 minutes, their destiny is intertwined. Right? Inextricably intertwined. You can't separate it. So, people's lives intersect, and their routes intersect, and they come and they meet, and then they go apart. And they come and they meet, and then they go apart. And they come and they meet, and they go apart. And simultaneously, every day, our lives are intersecting with so many different routes, right? It's like, highways, people are getting on, people are getting off, and it's really so amazing. The way Allah SWT plans things and how people meet, and they meet for, the right reason, and the way things are all set up in this, divine plan, which is so sophisticated. That's part of Ya Khafi al-Lutfi Adrikni bi-Lutfi al-Khafi, the subtlety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how everything's planned in such a way, the right person is there at the right time to provide the right opportunity, and how if they were to choose one thing, then they would go down one path, and if they didn't make the wrong choice, then a different thing might accrue, so on and so forth. It's the wild universe of potentialities and contingencies. So understand, principle number four was that people's routes intersect. Then principle number five is that I think we already mentioned, is that people are generally oblivious to other people's routes. Completely oblivious. And then we come to principle number six, and that's really sort of the core of today's talk, is that part of advancing, right, and becoming a more complete human being is expanding one's horizons, so not that you don't only encompass your own route, but that you begin to take other people's routes into consideration as well. Right? To move out of the myopia of me to the wide horizon of everyone. So move out of this, you know, thinking only about oneself and leading that self-centered life and having fikr for everyone. Right? And I think, like, if you take this to the Acme degree, it's epitomized in the person of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? It's epitomized in the person of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One time, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I believe it's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him. He said, to recite the Quran unto him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was taken aback. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, you and the Quran is revealed on you, right? How can I, I'm going to recite the Quran to you?" And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nonetheless asked him to recite, and so he began to recite Surah An-Nisa. And he's reciting Surah An-Nisa, until he comes to the ayah, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. When he came to that, then he actually looked out, and he said, and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and tears were streaming down the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam onto his Mubarak face. So, the ulama write different reasons about why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually cried at that moment. Right, the translation of that verse is so. فَكَيْفَ, so how will it be إِذَا جِئْنَا بِكَ, when we bring you عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا, as a witness over these people. And so, some people say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that, "Ya Rasulullah, how can I be a witness about those people I've never seen?" Right, and that worry. Or some people say that it was the grandeur of the Quran that overwhelmed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some people say that he was already crying previous to that, and it was only when he read that particular verse that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he actually noticed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam crying. But one particular interpretation is actually of interest over here, and that interpretation actually says that Rasulullah, when he read that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a vision revealed the mahshar, the plain of qiyamah, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was as if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seeing the day of Qiyamah. And then he saw his ummah, and since he was constantly in a state of fikr for the ummah, right? Constantly in a state of fikr for the ummah, when he saw the sins of his ummah, that led him to cry. Right? So how does that fit in? That fits in because here you had an individual who was not only worried about his own route, right? So much so that he would stand in the night حَتَّى يَتَوَرَّى قَدَمَاهُ, until his feet would actually be edematous. He wasn't worried about only his own route, that's for sure. And he wasn't even worried about the route about those who are around him, right? He was worried about the rest of humanity and their routes until the end of time. Right? When you just think and you start understanding the person of Rasulullah in that context, then you really you say, what type of individual was that? He was really the most magnificent human being that ever graced the face of the earth, because it's more than human, seems almost inhuman to have that much fikr, that much concern, to be that expansive internally, to care so much, so purely about so many, that you have to say he was Khatimul Anbiya. Right, Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen. That it's these type of things that, in one way, are sometimes the strongest proof of his prophethood, because he accomplished those things as a human being that would normally be considered, not humanly possible. Allahu Akbar. How much he cared. Azizun alayhi ma anittum harisun alaykum bil mu'minina raufur rahim. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, Azizun alayhi ma anittum. If something bothers you, it bothers him, right? Harisun alaykum. He has hirs over you. He cares so much about you. Harisun alaykum bil mu'mineen raufur rahim. Right? With the mu'mineen, he's actually rauf. And one of the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses for himself, which is rahim, he actually uses this to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this situation. This aspect of rahmah was so dominant in the person of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He just cared so much. Right? He was not oblivious to everyone else's route. And so the idea is that when people's routes intersect, right? When people's routes intersect, okay, one is when your routes don't intersect, right? The ultimate degree is when you actually care about people whose routes never intersected with you, right? You're driving on 55 and you're worried about someone who's driving on 40. Right, that was Rasulullah. But sometimes you guys will be driving on the same road, right? And sometimes you'll actually board the same bus. right? And your routes will intersect. When your routes intersect, try to make those moments meaningful for the other person, right? In that moment, don't be always worried about, what do I have to do next, right? But just look over to there and say that, how can I, what is going on in that person's life? You know, so when the surgeon gets onto the bus and he sees the bus driver and says, so how's your day and what you're doing? The person's face will light up. Why? Because it's someone who actually took the time to care, right? To move out of that self-centered worldview to actually care about someone or something other than themselves. It really makes a big impact in someone else's life. So if you can't do it to everyone, all in sundry, then at least those in whom we interact with or whose paths intersect our own on a daily manner. And one of the benefits of that is it really draws in and it opens up avenues that would have otherwise been closed. You know, it brings so much khair. I'll give you one example. We'll close with that. I'll bring you one example. Abdullah, what happened is when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he moved to Medina, the community became bigger. And they were thinking of some way to actually gather the people for Jama'ah, right? How do we gather the people to actually come to the prayer? So different people actually made different suggestions. So someone would make some people suggested that we should use a horn, like the Jews do. And some people said we should ring a bell the way that the Christians do. And some people made the suggestion that we should light a fire, right, as the way that others do. And none of these methods sat well with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, it couldn't be that you could just continue to say As-salatu al-jami'ah, right, or As-salatu jami'ah, and then go around the streets calling people, because now you're actually a city-state now. It was actually, you know, a fledgling state, but it was a state nonetheless. And so they needed some type of, they needed an organized methodology in which to call people. So what happened is, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave it, perhaps he was thinking, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent wahi, so on and so forth. So they left the matter. And the next day, after some time, Abdullah ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that I had a beautiful dream, right? And I saw a person who, in my dream, who was dressed in garments of green, if I'm not mistaken. And these riwayat and how this all unfolded, you'll find it in Bukhari. One of the riwayat is from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. But he basically taught him the words of Adhan. Now Allah, we'll come back to why this happened. So then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told him to teach the words to Bilal, and then Bilal radiallahu anhu, he started calling the adhan. When he started calling the adhan, Umar radiallahu anhu, he came running out, and he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I also had a dream, and someone had taught me these same exact words. Right? I taught me these same exact words. So, the ulama say is that why did Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu get the inspiration, right, or get the dream that established till the end of time, that you go to Makkah Mukarramah, you go to Medina, you go to Istanbul, right, you go to the depths of South Africa, the same adhan, right? You see the adhan called everywhere, all throughout the world, 5 times a day. And all of that going back to the source of one individual's dream, Abdullah ibn Zayd. What did he do that was so, pivotal that raised him to the status that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accepted him to be the source to come and tell Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala could send Angel Jibreel to go and tell Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directly, right? So that wasn't the issue. The issue was that Abdullah ibn Zayd's status got elevated, right? Allah chose to elevate Abdullah radiallahu anh by the sharf. So what did he do? So the ulama says that one thing that he had was fikr. Right? This fikr, this concern, right? He wasn't that, okay, this is Rasulullah's problem, right? And he'll get what he'll get taken care of. He took that problem and he made it his own, right? He's sitting at home, he can't sleep, he's just thinking about it, what can we do, what can we do? It consumed him. He made what was something on someone else's route, right? And he put it on his route. And he said that, this is going to be my problem. And the fact that he did that, he even superseded Umar radiallahu anhu in this matter, right? This fikr is something that, can bring a tremendous amount of khair. So really, the lesson to take from that is that understand that each one of us has a route. Understand that it is in our hands to change that route at any given time, or any given moment in time. Number four, that generally people are oblivious to other people's route, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's okay. We actually have to have this fikr, this concern for other individuals and what concerns them. And the last thing is that when we actually have that fikr, that actually becomes an impetus. It actually paves the way to open up success and to elevate one's own rank, right? The person who's elevated, of course it was a big khair for the deen, but the person who actually in one way benefited tremendously from this act of fikr was Abdullah radiallahu anhu himself. Right? So it's one way to actually elevate our own status. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who have fikr for their own akhirah, for those who choose the right route in their lives, the one who are constantly changing lanes to get in the lane that takes them closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he grant us true fikr for the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.